let's talk about ATVUS and IDE CD-ROM drives. Okay, look, there is a difference, and the thing that's brought it to light is actually a little bit of an adventure that I had with a friend of mine's machine. And this is basically the sort of scenario that you can end up with. Now, a lot of people don't realise it, but the way the ATVUS drives actually work is they're a little bit like sort of a printer port card or a SCSI card. It's a bit like an I.O. card, and it's totally proprietary. And what you actually have is they have different interface standards like Mitsumi, Sony, Panasonic. Each one had their own proprietary standard.
Mm.
Of course, these days, things are so much better and so much simpler.
SCSI!
No. Oh, yeah, well, SCSI's good, yeah. No, because they're all IDE, really. I mean, just about all of them are IDE. Integrated Device Electronics.
Excellent.
So what it actually means is that a lot of the electronics of the disk controller is actually on the drive itself.
I saw a car the other day going down Punt Road, mm-hmm. and its plates were IDE.
I like that.
I thought it must be a computer nerd from hell.
One of my customers has got Spark, S-P-A-R-C.
Oh,
I think that's
right.
Good.
On
his white Mercedes. Anyway, never mind.
Oh, poor man.
Okay, so basically, okay, today's CD-ROM drives are basically IDE, and what that really means is that instead of having a proprietary interface, a IDE CD-ROM drive basically looks like an ordinary old hard disk. And that's why you can actually connect them as a slave drive, a bit like a slave hard disk, or on your secondary IDE port, IDE2, whatever, on your Pentium motherboard and all that kind of thing. So it just plugs in like a normal hard disk,
cool.
And then you install the driver and off you go. Now, why is this sort of important? Well, because problems can surface when you have to install your great new, maybe Win 95, or you've got to rebuild all your software and whatever, and you happen to have maybe an IDE CD-ROM drive, you can have one bag of problems, and if you've got an ATVUS CD-ROM drive, you can have another bag of problems, because this is what happens, okay? The biggest problem is when you actually set up your sound card, especially if you have, actually, would you believe, the easier IDE CD-ROM drive. Now, if you get a good sound card, which you might have purchased a year or two ago when you did have ATVUS and IDE CD-ROMs, you might find you've got up to maybe four connectors on it. 3-4 ATVUS, Sony, Mitsumi, Panasonic, and one for IDE. Now, what happens is when you upgrade to maybe Win 95 and you have to reinstall everything, you know how things sometimes get, and you've got to kill your hard disk and reformat and repartition.
This is the hardest part, every day. I'm back from half a gig to 1.8 gig. I can't keep anything on my old hard drive.
Yeah, it gets a bit ugly, doesn't it?
It's a nightmare.
That's right. So let's just assume you've got to install all your sound card drivers. Things suddenly get very ugly. And you might have to do this as well one day.
Thank you. Just get yourself a zip drive.
No.
Okay. I'll just shut up then.
When you install your sound card and you start installing your simple sound card drivers, it may actually ask you for the type of CD-ROM drive you've got. Now, let's say you've got a Sony IDE or a Mitsumi let's say you've got a Sony ATVUS or a Mitsumi ATVUS. Now, you go through your sound card installation and it'll say, what CD-ROM drive do you have? You might say Sony, you might say Mitsumi. This is the word of warning. What it's usually referring to, in many cases, is actually an ATVUS CD-ROM drive. Now, you might actually have a Sony or a Mitsumi IDE CD-ROM drive connected to the IDE port. That's right. It's a small detail, but things get very miserable. We all have those memories of miserable feelings, don't we, on Sunday afternoons?
Not Sunday afternoon, man.
So, and that's what you've got to be careful of. So this is my word of warning tonight, that actually when you often select the CD-ROM drive, it's talking about the ATVUS one, not the IDE one. And then, of course, you proceed with your installation and then things don't work and you try something else and you start again.
So if you are installing an IDE drive, what do you do when it asks you that question?
Exactly.
You tell the bugger off or what?
Well,
this is what he's talking about, man.
No, but he's quite right, and this is actually the point. Now, the thing to look out for, if you suspect that you've got an ATVUS CD-ROM drive or you've got your configuration wrong or you don't really know what you've got, I mean, have a look if there's something connected to the IDE port on your sound card. That's okay. But the thing to really look out for is there's telltale signs in your config.sys, right? If you're running Win31, and even a lot of Win95 needs a config.sys for the CD-ROM drive to work. If it starts talking about things like, you know, MSCD with Hex 340 and Interrupt 10, the classic giveaway that the thing is configured for ATVUS. Rightly or wrongly, you've set it up for ATVUS. So the trick is, make a backup copy of your config sysonauto.exec onto a floppy, so then when it all hits the fan, you can go back and fuss around a little bit. However, if you've got it set up for an IDE CD-ROM drive, you will find it usually mentions things like, you know, HEX 170, I-15, Interrupt 15. Mm. And that's a giveaway that it's actually set up for IDE. Now, if you want to set it up for IDE, like Steve was saying, how do you go about it? Well, when you install your SoundCon, it's got the four ports. Rather than going through the list of CD-ROM drives, you know, Mitsumi this and Panasonic that, usually there'll be what I call a generic or sort of universal IDE driver. And you don't select the brand of CD-ROM drive that you've got. No. You just select IDE. And basically all that does is give you a second hard disk or IDE port, if you like, on your sound card. And then all you actually need to do is run the disk driver that comes with the CD-ROM drive.
And it plugs it in.
And it'll just find it just as if it was hooked into an IDE port on the motherboard or whatever. So that's the trick. And if you start mucking around trial and error, things don't work, and then of course you start sticking in that IDE disk, it'll start to maybe install it as an IDE, and you can actually find, and this is a problem I've seen, that it's configured for an 80 bus CD-ROM drive and, you know, with your HEX 340 and Interrupt 10, and then because you've mucked around, it then installs it as well as in your config.sys as an IDE, and you just start going round and round and round, and you end up getting nowhere, actually. So that's something to really look out for, you know, the difference between the 80 bus and the IDE. And the best advice I can give you is, firstly, when you do have to reinstall your sound card and CD-ROM drivers, firstly, beware of double space. If you're still using double space, get rid of it. It'll catch up with you one day and it'll cause you mighty amounts of grief. And the second one is, don't use double space. And double space is a little bit like a virus in a way, really. Because what happens is, even, this is another word of warning, even after you've removed double space, you will find that if you format disks with it, it still transfers the drivers over as a rule. Some people might say, no, that can't be right. We've actually seen it, that once you've got double space, even though you've removed the driver for it, when you format disks with it, the double space still gets converted. And when you boot up from those floppy disks, it still gives you some symptoms like insufficient memory to run QA Plus diagnostics and things like that. So once you've got double space, you've got to be very, very careful about what you do after that. And the last bit of advice is, before you start reinstalling all the stuff, if your sound card and CD-ROM drive is working, as I said, make up a nice little boot floppy with the config sys and auto exec bat just under plain old DOS, so you can check out the system and the config sys and auto exec under DOS and or Win95 when things finally don't work, and you've basically got a reference point or starting point to basically reconfigure your Windows 95 system or Windows 31 system or whatever. So do make a copy of config sys and auto exec bat when the system is working before you start plowing into it. I cannot emphasize that enough.
Back it up.
Back it up. And that's it from me.
Good on you, Ed. Well done. Big effort there.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost out of time, Steve Pollock, aren't we? But next week...